Publius PR writes, quote, America is in decline. What is the cause and what must be done to reestablish our founding principles? One cannot understand the full intent behind the American founding unless they understand the biblical principles that informed it, end quote. A new book sets out to help us establish or reestablish America's Christian roots. It's called Rediscovering the American Covenant, Roadmap to Restore America, and it's written by Mark Burrell. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Mark Burrell joins us now. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jerry, for having me.
Well, first of all, this is a subject near and dear to my heart. I appreciate that. Tell us about the book, Rediscovering the American Covenant, Roadmap to Restore America. How many pages is it about, and what topics does it cover, and why did you decide to write it? I'm just going to sit down and let you wax eloquent.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah, so I try and do three things with the book. The first one is I try and get to the root cause of the decline in America. A lot of folks today talk about the Constitution, the fact that we're not following it, or maybe we just have bad policy. Those are issues, but they're not the root cause issue. So the point that I make in the book is that the root cause issue is that we have a number of our fellow citizens who have fundamentally rejected our national founding covenant, which is the Declaration of Independence. And so the way I get there is I start with the Bible. This was a journey I started about 30 years ago, actually. I had questions myself about the legitimacy of the founding. And so I decided at one point to read through the Bible and pull out any verses that had to do with liberty and justice and rights and nations. And I was flabbergasted at all of the information that I found. So what I started to do was organize it and pull together some principles for what did God expect of nations. And one of those things was that they govern justly. And then how do you start a nation? And then what are the principles for how to establish and maintain liberty and justice for all? And of course, we learn those things through the example of Israel. So that's how I get to the founding. And I make the direct connection to those biblical principles to exactly what the founders did in 1776. And what I'm really trying to do is just establish beyond the shadow of a doubt that they really were following the biblical template, not only for how to think about a nation and what the vision of a nation should be, but also the process to start one. And I explain all that in the book. So number one, that's the first thing I do. The second thing in the book that I do is I make the case that the reason we're here as a nation is because the church has abdicated its stewardship role to teach these principles and really act as the moral conscience of our society. And so just straight up, that's the reason why we're here. It is the church's fault. And on one hand, Christians need a solid biblical argument, so I'm trying to provide that in the book. And I'm hoping that folks will be open to that, those folks that are so adamant about separation of church and state and the fact that, you know, getting involved in politics interferes with evangelism. I deal with that question head on, by the way, in the book. I talk about the evangelistic strategy in the Old Testament, which was through the nation of Israel acting justly. So I deal with all those main objections. But then the third thing I do in the book is I make the point that in order to restore America, we're going to have to do what a couple of the Old Testament Jewish leaders did. So, you know, Israel mostly had bad kings, right? But they did have a couple of good ones. So kings like Josiah and then Nehemiah, who came back and rebuilt the wall. In those two cases, what those individuals did is they gathered the people together, they read the book of the law, and they all recommitted on the spot, and God blessed their reign. And so I make the case that we have to work hard. We have to do a lot of the things we're doing. But if we want God to intervene on our behalf, we have to acknowledge our sins as a nation. We have to make an appeal to heaven, just as the founders did. And we need to put this matter in his hands, because I think, Jerry, you'll probably agree that things are so bad at this point that only God can really turn things around in America. So that's why I wrote the book.
Wow. All right. A lot of questions here. Okay. First of all, what would you say to the objection that the settlers, okay, they're Christians, we'll grant you that. But by the time you get to the founders, you know, they were, quote unquote, men of the Enlightenment, and a lot of them didn't believe necessarily in the Christian God. And so just go ahead and address that issue, if you would.
Well, the first point that I make is in establishing what the theology of the founding was. And that's I appreciate you reading that quote, because I came to that conclusion that if you don't understand the theology behind the founding, you really don't understand the founding, not completely anyway. And so just getting clarity on that takes you a long way to appreciate that far from being lightweights or even deists, most of these guys, the vast majority of them, were actually spiritually very knowledgeable on what the Bible said in these things. Of course, they argued about many things, but on these points, they agreed. And so on one hand, I showed that the theology is very sound. And then, you know, my first response to that is it actually doesn't matter about how the founders, what their true beliefs really were. The first question is it biblical? And so I believe without a shadow of a doubt that it was biblical what they did. And so were they truly followers of Christ? I believe most of them were. Of course, we can't know their hearts 250 years later, but that's how I would respond to that.
There are some people who would say, and I've heard this actually, they'll say, well, the founders violated Romans 13 because they didn't just submit to the government, of Great Britain, and instead they rebelled. I like to say that they declared independence from Great Britain or from England, but they declared dependence on Almighty God, because the Declaration does mention God four times. But what would you say to the Romans 13 argument?
Yeah, this is actually the question that I had almost 30 years ago that started me on this journey. How could the thing have been biblically justifiable? If it was all about paying taxes and Jesus said you should pay your taxes, then how could it have been biblically justifiable? So here's the conclusion I reached. Understand that at the beginning they refer to the law of nature and of nature's God, which if you read and you understand what people were writing back then, that's a direct reference to the law as known through conscience and reason, and the law as presented in the Bible. So law of nature is conscience, and of nature's God is the Bible, the moral law summarized by the Ten Commandments in the Bible. And I back all that up with quotes from that era. And so what they're saying, the whole basis of this is, there is a divine law that guides everything. And they were basically making a moral argument that the King of England, over a long period of time, roughly 13 years, they were trying to resolve their differences, after a long train of offenses, they had reasoned that he had forfeited his legitimate rights as the civil leader over them that required them to submit. The corollary that I would use is it's sort of like a married couple. Imagine they get married and, you know, the husband has the responsibility as the head of the marriage. But if the husband is abusing his wife, and you can go anywhere you want with that term, over time, ideally you'd like them to reconcile. But if the husband does not relent after, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. At some point, she is free to leave for her own safety and security. It's the same exact principle. In fact, one of the points I make in the book is that all of the principles that we learn about establishing civil government that I pull out seven of them, they all apply to the family as well. And of course, they must apply, because communities are made up of families. And so that analogy that I just gave you really is the proper analogy, because over time, the king had abused his authority. And at some point, and I can't say when, you know, I didn't live back then, but by the time you get to June of 76, there was a majority of the founders that said, he's either going to come and make us slaves, or he's going to take everything we have. and that's immoral. And so they viewed his actions as so immoral that he forfeited that leadership responsibility that's reinforced in Romans 13.
And by the way, let me just give a quick aside. My wife is from Norway, and in this museum, which was dedicated to the resistance, the mostly peaceful resistance by Norwegians against the Nazis when the Nazis took over. This is a museum that they have in Oslo, and you see this, the Nazis took over the schools and everything, and you see this curriculum that the Nazis imposed on the Norwegian children. And my wife even translated this part where it shows how the Nazis used Romans 13 to teach the Norwegians, you must obey the government because that's what God wants you to do. And who's the government? The Führer. So in other words, Adolf Hitler is the one that you must obey. God has said so, you little Norwegian kids. You know, stop being so disobedient. Okay, let's move on. What about the Constitution? Some argue that, well, the Constitution is supposedly godless. In fact, there's a book used in law classes sometimes called The Godless Constitution. Doesn't have a single footnote. It's a very thin book, but it supposedly makes the argument that the founders didn't mention God in the Constitution by design, and that they intended this to be a secular state, and certainly not a biblical or a republic based on the Bible or biblical principles.
Yeah, so if you are a secular progressive, you're going to make those kinds of assertions. If you are a Christian who understands the theology, looks at what they did, appreciates the principles that were captured in the Declaration, it's already a settled issue that these guys were trying to institute a government, a structure, and of course the Constitution was version 2.0, right? Version 1.0 is the Articles of Confederation that didn't prove to be robust enough. And so they were, in order to form a more perfect union, trying to address those structural issues. But there's no reason to believe that they were walking away from their Christian principles in terms of how they were thinking through that. And of course, as Christians, we understand how they built so many checks and balances into the Constitution to check the sin nature of mankind. They clearly understood that. And if you read the Federalists, you see it there as well. And then the last thing I'd say, Jerry, is, and I'm sure you're aware of this, in 1854, Congress actually studied this issue. Was America founded as a Christian nation? And they concluded that it was. And I quote that in the book as well.
Okay, we have about a minute left. What else do you want to say that you haven't been able to say? And I'll give you a website here. It's defendamericanliberty.com.
Yeah, you can order it there, or it's on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
But how about a concluding thought, please?
Yeah, the last thing I would say is what I'm really trying to do with the book, Jerry, is to start a national conversation about who are we really as Americans? I really do believe that that's the root cause issue. And until we address it and talk about it openly, we're just going to be swinging in the wind to try and put America back on course. And so what I'm really trying to do with this is create a national conversation that could lead to, call it in the next couple of years, ideally right in front of our 250th birthday in the year 2026, where we might have a movement that does what Josiah did and Nehemiah did, which is to recommit to our national covenant, to appeal to heaven, and to regain God's blessing, true blessing, because things are really bad right now. And I honestly don't see a way around it. And when I look at the Bible, that is the template to follow.
Okay, thank you so much for being with us. DefendAmericanLiberty.com, Mark Burrell. Thank you, Mark. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.